and welcome to episode 32 of the Noisecast, a show about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and more. On tonight's episode, we have Gonzo Ryder.
Welcome back, everyone.
Ranturaj.
Good evening.
Penguin.
Why, hello, all you fine people.
And Veto number 9. And Veto number 9.
Hot pockets.
We're back from a small vacation hiatus, whatever you want to call it. Hope everybody had a great, was it Memorial Day or Labor Day? Which one was it?
It was Memorial Day.
Yes.
Holiday Day.
Hope everybody had a wonderful holiday. So a lot of stuff happened this week, which we will be covering. Before we start, how is everyone?
I'm pretty good.
And, you know.
I'm fine, Steven. How are you?
Super de-duper.
What the fuck?
Okay.
Special thank you to everybody who's tuning in live right now at our Ustream channel. Feel free to participate, shout your comments at us, whatever. We'll be sure to address them on the air. So first up on tonight's topic list is the big news of the week, which was Windows 8. We got a very first look at what Windows 8 will look like, and it seems like they've taken the Windows Phone 7 user interface with the live tiles and all that and integrated that into the next version of Windows. So first impressions on the very first demo of the next Windows software.
I hope that this is mainly just for touch computers and tablets and whatnot, because I would hate using that with my keyboard and mouse. Like, I'm tired of this touchscreen everything. And I'm hoping that that's just for, like, the HP Touch Smart and tablets and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm with Gonzo. I'm hoping that what they're doing here is just demoing the way Windows 8 is going to look on the tablets, and the way that Apple has been trying to more closely integrate OS X and iOS. I'm hoping that that's what they're doing, and it's basically just going to be one operating system. But if it recognizes, oh hey, I'm on a tablet device, I'm on a desktop, it'll switch to the touch interface, because like Gonzo said, that'd be kind of horrible. If I've got something precise like a mouse and a keyboard, why I want the giant tiles all over the place? It's absurd.
If you look at the video that they demoed, though, I mean, they don't really say much about the underlying. I mean, they talk about, hey, you could still use your Microsoft Office applications and stuff, but I didn't write a post on it on the Noisecast because it's more personal opinion. But it seems to me that this is just nothing more than a theme, a Windows 7 theme with Windows 7 running underneath. And it just runs over the regular UI. Whenever you want to pull up Windows 7, it's easily accessible for your other apps and stuff.
Yeah, you can pretty much kind of do a lot of that same stuff now with, like, Rain Meter, I think it's called, right? I've seen a couple themes.
Yeah, and I like Rain Meter, but I don't want all this shit all over my thing. I like having a couple of nice widgets and then a bar. Like, maybe I'm old-fashioned and not hip to all this new, look at these big buttons I can click on shit, but I want it kind of simple, and I like having things where I can just do normal directory kind of stuff. Like, I click start, and it's like, oh, well, here are programs.
I know the Rain Meter theme. I mean, you use Rain Meter, and the theme for it is called Omnimo, and that actually does exactly what was demoed at Windows for Windows 8.
I want to know why they're dealing with Windows 8 right now. Anyway, I mean, honestly, Windows 7 is fucking amazing. There's nothing that they need to do to this. There's no reason to start pushing Windows 8 right now.
Are
just
they like
leave well enough alone? Come on.
Are they like taking more of the Apple approach where they try and update more frequently?
No, not
that's what
really.
It kind of seemed like
they're staying with their regular was it a 4-year window release schedule? So it's coming out in 2012. So Windows 7 was what, 2008?
Was it really?
What? That's weird because Windows still seems really new to me. Like I remember the first betas of it coming around out in like 2008, but when did it come out proper? Like 2009, 2010?
On my box,
it officially released in 2009.
Yeah, that's what it says on my box. So, I mean, more or less a 4-year gap.
I don't know. It still seems way too soon for me, though. Like, I don't know. It just strikes me as odd.
Well, that's because XP was around for 10 years. OS X is the same thing. It's been around for a little over 10 years at this point.
And that might be the problem, is that I still, you know, in the office I work at, I still see a lot of people using XP. In fact, most of the people there are still on XP. So Windows 7 still seems new to me because not that many people have it in, you know, my circles.
That's a good point. Yeah, most of the computers I still run across are either XP or Vista, not even 7. So
I rarely see Vista anymore.
Well, especially in businesses, they're not going to upgrade until they fucking have to.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I know a lot. Like my dad works for the state, and they still have computers that run ME.
Jesus,
don't want to fucking pay to upgrade all their computers.
I've got machines at work that are still running NT.
Oh my god.
But what about the user interface, the usability of it? I mean, my biggest concern with this was for people like me who run like 5 or 6 different things at once and are constantly switching between screens. Like I'll have, you know, my IM program, my this, my that, all like Photoshop, et cetera, et cetera. And with the current, you know, Windows interface, it's really simple. Alt tab, boom, boom, everything is right there. You have a desktop you could save stuff to that you need quick access and everything. This sort of, the whole tile UI is great for tablets and smartphones because you're not really doing fast sort of computing on those things. It's more of a slowed down experience. Yet somehow they want to convince us that this is going to be a better experience for our desktops and our laptops.
I mean, that's the one thing that's always struck me about Microsoft, and I don't want to sound like a total Microsoft hater, but I always get the feeling that they don't really think things through and they just kind of go with what's working. Yeah, and right now Windows Phone 7 is kind of cool and people like it, so they're just like, it seemed like they're just copying it over.
Really, really what I want to see is something I've seen in a lot of Linux distros, and even now on the new OS X, is where you have like, you can have multiple desktop spaces. So you can have a whole bunch of stuff going here, and then you can like switch over, and you have a blank desktop, but your other stuff's still going on another one. I think that would be more handy.
Yeah, that is a nice feature.
The thing is, like, mobile is really the hot tech right now. And I don't really like how a lot of companies seem to be pushing for mobile. Like, Microsoft's, like Steven said, Windows 8 looks really cool for, like, a tablet or mobile, something like that. But I want my desktop to be a desktop. Like, that's where I do my real shit.
Yeah, so, and I feel that everyone talks about, oh, desktops are dying and whatnot. Well, they wouldn't be dying if people just quit doing shit for them. It's like everything's going to the future, and that's tablets and touchscreens and whatnot. And I don't want that.
Like, originally, we were trying to make our mobile technology like our desktop technology, but now we're going the opposite way. We're trying to turn our desktops into mobile platforms. Which I don't think we should be going.
I don't like that train of thought.
I can see Windows 8 becoming the new Windows Vista, where some people are like, I have absolutely no problem with this, but the majority of people going, this is complete shit.
I would have wished that it's still very, very early on in the game. This is the very first thing we've seen. This is by far not going to be the final product. I mean, shit could be tossed out for all we know. You never know till it's released. And I wish that with Windows 8, they would actually focus more on social integration, deeper social integration, like they're doing with Windows Phone 7 and iOS is doing with its next version.
Motherfucker, it's a computer.
No, I understand it's a computer, but at the same time, let's say, you know, you have stuff on your computer that you want to share, you want to talk about, or your music, whatever. It's, you know, stuff like that that could be
trying easily to get your ass sued. Oh, let me share my music.
Boom. Or your photos. Right, hey.
All think about your business.
Think about your photos on Facebook. Like, I want to just right click on my photo and say post to Facebook. How about that? You know, stuff like that that makes sense. Where
that'd be handy. That'd be a nice feature.
Wow, is that the first Noisecast money making idea in a really long time?
Well,
somebody needs to make that into an application for desktop use right now.
I'd be surprised if someone already didn't. I mean, like, that's how Dropbox works, pretty much. You can just write, like, once you install it, you can right-click, like, share to Dropbox.
Well, doesn't iPhoto basically do that on Macs? You know, there's, like, a Facebook integration thing. Now it's built into it, but there used to be that you could download for it.
Yeah, there is. But I think what Steven's talking about is, like, on the OS level. Like, it's just you right-click it, and there's a context box right there, share to Facebook. But the problem with that is that I know Facebook is really huge and we don't see it going anywhere anytime soon, but social media like that is real fluid. So it seems to me that it would be kind of difficult to put all your money on a single horse, not knowing if that'll necessarily be around in a couple of years.
Right.
Well, that brings us to our next topic of Eric Schmidt, the former executive of Google, pretty much admitting that he screwed up when it comes to social. He said that he was way too busy, had too much on his mind, and Google had turned up, had grown into this unmanageable beast, which is why the decision to bring in Sergey Brin and stuff to take over the reins and sort of consolidate Google down, because they pretty much dropped the entire ball when it comes to social, and now they're trying to slowly do the whole plus one thing that they're doing.
Yeah, but why do they need to do social? Why does Google need to do anything at this point? They're a massive multi-billion-dollar juggernaut. They control search. Yes, Bing is gaining market share, but who gives a shit? Google's just fucking sitting at the top of the heap like, here you go, you bitches can have my scraps. Why the fuck do they need social?
They need to stick with what they're good at.
But the thing is,
they're engineers. They're not party throwers.
The biggest threat, though, is Facebook.
But how?
I don't go to Facebook to search for shit. But if I want to find maps to a restaurant, I don't ask Facebook. I ask Google. I don't have a Facebook phone. I have a Google phone.
That's because the Facebook phone sucked ass.
I mean, I know, like, last year the Facebook was rated the most popular site on the net or the most visited, whatever it was. But they're like two completely different, you know, markets there. So it doesn't really even count against Google to me, you know?
Yeah, it's like one guy says, man, I sure do love pizza. And somebody else says, I like tacos. And then the third guy over here is like, man, I love Pepsi. What the fuck? We're talking about food. These are two different markets. It doesn't matter. If Facebook is better at social and Google's better at search, maps,
email,
the email, aggregating information, it doesn't matter if they don't have social. It really doesn't. It doesn't mean shit. No, it is nice having chat built into my email so that I can talk to people that are on my email list without having something else open. But it really...
That's as much social as Google needs to get.
Right.
Commenter Relit points out in the chat, though, that industry leaders need to pretty much lead the way in evolution and push forward. And Google is a leader, and therefore it needs to evolve and not just stay stagnant with search.
Well, that's okay, right. But Google Docs and Google Mail.
Yeah, they're not just Google Analytics. With search. There's click on the if you go to Google and then click more and then click even more. Watch how much shit explodes on your page. There's a lot more to Google than just search and email. Yes, that's the stuff that people use most often. But there's a lot to them.
Google needs to stick with making tools that help you navigate the internet, because that's what they're good at, is making tools.
Here's the thing, too. Like, as far as staying stagnant, Google wasn't always a juggernaut. Like, someone will rise up to fulfill a need. Like, Google started out, they were just something. They grew into that juggernaut because there was a void. Like, what we had wasn't good enough, so Google made it better. So now that Google's the top, they don't need to do everything necessarily. Someone will do it.
And yeah, and the other thing is that, you know, yeah, they do need to innovate and they need to kind of lead the way for other companies, but that doesn't mean they need to copy what Facebook does. That's not innovating. That's just doing something someone else's job on your site too.
Yeah, and they don't need to lead the way at everything.
No, but they could improve their current products like their search and stuff with social, because they're not talking about building a social network, talking about building the next Facebook. All they're talking about is getting social information, as in what you like, where you are, what you do, to give you more personalized search results, to bring more relevant information to you, instead of like, you know, content farms and all the other bullshit that you see after page two on Google.
All right.
Silence.
I'll drink to that.
All right, Callus, you win. You shut us all up.
Well, I'm sitting over here trying to figure out how Google digging through all of my personal information is going to make the search better.
Well, for instance, let's say you really love, you know, Crazy Joe's Pizza Shack or something like that, and you check in there all the time, and let's say you go somewhere else, you go to a different state to visit, and you're like, oh, well, I'm in, let's say, Sacramento. I'm looking for some pizza in Sacramento. Google might know, hey, this guy really likes Crazy Joe's Pizza Shack. A, there's either some place that's very similar around here that he could point into, or B, there's actually a Crazy Joe's out in Sacramento. You know what I mean?
Right, but if you're looking for it, if you're searching for pizza, then, I mean, maybe it puts the Crazy Joe's closer to the top than, say, a Pizza Hut, but... I mean, I can kind of see that, but it
really helps them out in their advertising section.
Right.
I'll put it this way,
I can understand.
I'll put it this way. If Google wants to start to learn more about what I like, and I can tell them, you know, I don't know how the plus one thing works, but if I could tell them, like, all right, I searched for all this stuff, and these are the things out of what I searched for that I wanted... and they could keep a log of all the things that I search for, that's fine. And if it helps me search in the future based on what I searched for in the past, that's also good. But that's not social. That's very personal. There's, you know, and that's what I think they would be good at. Whereas, you know, sharing with my friends what I'm searching for, I don't give a shit, and I'm sure they don't either.
All right. Let's move on to another Google topic. I mean, we've all made excellent points. I mean, the argument is very well-rounded. Everybody has a great point when it comes to this. Obviously, the future of this is rests in the whole plus one ordeal and what they're going to do about it. On a different sort of angle about Google, though, I don't know if you guys heard, they're starting, I believe, August 1st or August 31st, the Google website will no longer support older browsers. You will need a modern browser like Firefox 3.6 and above, Internet Explorer, I think 8 and above, and so on and so forth. They're going to try to help out Microsoft, for example, with the whole Internet Explorer 6 thing and not upgrading from XP. They're going to try to do a big push. If Google does it, they're thinking maybe everybody will finally get on board and upgrade their operating system and to newer web browsers.
All right. Good. Now clarify this for me. When they say they're going to stop support for these browsers, is it literally going to stop Google from rendering in those browsers, or they're just, if it doesn't work, they're not going to help you?
They won't have full features.
Yeah.
All right. So you can still go to Google with, you know, Firefox 3.5. It's not going to be a big warning to say like, fuck you, you're out of luck, upgrade. It's just not going to work to its potential, full potential.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, with like placing tables or divs or all sorts of tags, if, you know, something renders in the wrong space or if it's on like the other side of the page or whatever, they're not going to try and fix that for Internet Explorer. Because that's what usually happens. You'll place something, you know, with most browsers, you'll place an object in, you know, the right, top right area of the page, let's say, and it'll appear there in Chrome, in Firefox, in, you know, whatever. And then you open IE6 and it's like upside down and backwards somewhere else.
Well, this doesn't just apply to IE6. It also applies to if you still run Firefox 3.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just speaking in a very basic sense, but, you know, They're basically going to say, we're going to support modern browsers.
The old Safari is.
Yeah.
I think they said they're going to be able. They're going to support the latest three versions of each browser.
Now, is that like a continuous thing where, like, as new browsers come out, they're going to drop support for the last one?
Well, I mean, whenever a new browser comes out, it's usually to accommodate some new feature that is, you know, not quoting me, but the future of the internet, like HTML5. That was the big thing for the recent array of browsers that came out. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, everything's becoming HTML5 and people with IE6 or even IE7 or Firefox 3 or whatever are shit out of luck.
See, the only way it's going to get fixed is if Microsoft makes their browsers compatible with XP or Firefox or, you know, Chrome, whatever.
Well, they're dropping support for XP eventually.
Well, weren't they supposed to do that like 2 years ago?
Well, they've already stopped supporting Service Pack 2.
Yeah.
If you try and install anything on a Service Pack 2, it just stops you. It's like, whoa, not going to happen. I know Security Essentials, because I had to go through my lab installing Security Essentials on all of our XP computers. And before it let me do that, I had to upgrade them all from Service Pack 2 to Service Pack 3, which was a lot of fun for all those computers that have no network connection. 50-something
computers. It's the right way to do it, though, because people aren't going to change their browser, obviously, unless you make them.
Right. Like all those companies that are still using XP. It's like, well, it still works. Fuck it.
I mean, it's even people with Firefox, too. They said still 1 million people still use, what was it, Firefox 3.5 or something, or 3.3?
Holy crap.
And you think, like, you know, Firefox users are savvy enough to upgrade. And Mozilla said it's even tried, you know, putting up pop-ups and every time they open Firefox to tell them, hey, fucking upgrade your shit.
I think a lot of that, though, is young people who have gone to, like, their parents and grandparents' house and been like, use this.
Yeah.
And put Firefox exactly on. And then they're like, oh, this pop-up here, I don't want to click on that. Pop-ups are bad.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
True that, sir.
Because most people that I know that I've gotten to use Firefox that are my age will keep it upgraded if they know that, hey, this isn't going to work anymore.
Yeah, I know I installed Firefox on my aunt's computer that's upstairs in our house. And I went to go use it a few days ago because I needed to print something, and that's the only one hooked up to the printer. So I went to open Firefox, and it was like version 3.3 or something. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, let's upgrade this.
Yeah, I mean, Google's the first one that's not an actual browser company, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Twitter or whatever, or Facebook or LinkedIn or other companies like that tooted the same horn, especially now with Twitter's new photo hosting service. That's a direct competition to LiveFrog and TwitPic and stuff that they're launching next week or this week.
Yeah, but everybody already has their YFrog and TwitPic accounts.
I think that Twitter is just sad that people aren't going to Twitter.com anymore. And they're trying to get people to go there. That's why they're buying up all the clients.
Yeah, they're really just a bunch of dicks over there.
What is this from a company that's run by a guy named Biz?
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I don't think that they're trying to be dicks. I think that they're trying to make money off of their product, which is something that you can't really fault them for.
You know, but at the same time, they told everyone when they had their whole press conference, they're like, if you're going to develop something for Twitter, it can't be something that we already do. So like TweetDeck and all that stuff, like the desktop applications all got ousted from that. And now they're just going to go copy services that were doing something that Twitter didn't do. And then they're going to tell them, oh, you can't do this anymore. They're kind of being dicks.
They're kind of being Apple.
Well, yeah.
I feel like dicks. The whole success of Twitter was on the backs of all these other third-party services. And now Twitter just going back like, oh, you can't do this anymore. And we're doing it. So fuck you.
Well, for some of these services, they had to find a revenue stream too. And the recent sort of uproar about, I think, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, was TwitPic now signed a deal with one of its advertisers saying that any picture you upload to TwitPic is now their property and they could use it for profit. I mean, it's you relinquish all ownership whatsoever, and if they want to use it, they can, regardless of what it is.
Bye-bye, TwitPic.
So it begs the question, you know, are Wi-Fi Frog and, what is it now, Lockers or whatever it was? It's changed names 3 times already, but...
Plixi, Lockers, whatever you want to call it.
Right. And, I mean, stuff like that, they have to find their revenue service somewhere, their revenue stream somewhere. So if they start jumping on that advertising bandwagon, Twitter's, you know, starting to look pretty good for the hosting of the images.
I agree. I mean, I think they'll do a good job at it, but if they're going to tell all their third-party developers to, you know, innovate in areas that they haven't already, and then they're just going to copy them when they do, you know, that's a little fucked up.
Like, Twitter just needs to realize what they've created a monster. And now they want, now that it's taken off and all these other people have done some awesome things with it, they're like, I want that. You use my service, it's fine now.
Tony lets us know that the pictures are, that clause in TwitPic is only for celebrities. Your pictures are still yours.
How do you know I'm not a celebrity, Steven? That's mighty presumptuous of you.
I mean, we're all
really?
Very...
I mean, I'm pretty famous.
People we're all me. On a very important podcast. So.
I feel kind of insulted, yeah. As a matter of fact.
I was just trying to say I'm famous on the internet.
I was just giving that out to the other... listeners that are they may or may not be celebrities. That's what
I mean. I'm kind of a big deal. People know me.
A lot of leather-bound books.
My apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Okay. Speaking of,
hold on. Before we go any further, I want to go slightly off topic for a second. Can somebody please explain to me why people use Lockers or Plixi, whatever it is now. Does anyone here use it?
Well, I only use it because it goes with my default Twitter client.
For some reason, I'm following them on Twitter, but I don't know why. I think at one point I used a Twitter client that uses them, and they automatically followed that account, which kind of annoys me, and I've just been too lazy to unfollow them.
Tweetcaster does that. If you don't pay attention when you're first setting it up, there's a little checkbox that says... follow such and such, and you'll end up following them and have no idea why. And they'll
use Uber Social, and its default photo uploader thing is Lockers, and I just don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I ask is because Lockers seems to be the only one that doesn't directly integrate with the site or with the app on my phone. Like, when I click a TwitPic or a tweet with a TwitPic in it, it'll show up in the little sidebar that pops up. But when it's Lockers, it just shows a link, and I got to go to Lockers to look at it.
Right, and it always was like that. But the thing that kept... Because I remember when I was first trying to figure out Twitter, I used it, and it was enticing to me because it was the only one out there that if you uploaded a photo to TweetPhoto, which is what it first was, it also gave you the option to Facebook Connect, so it uploads to your Facebook wall as well. So 2 birds with 1 stone, which is why a lot of people were into that.
I mean, If I had the choice, I would use TwitPic, but the only way for me to use that mobily is to send them an MMS with my picture, and that's just too much trouble.
Now I have to check to see what the actual, because I use the official Twitter client for my iPhone, formerly Tweety, was it?
Right.
And I think by default they use TwitPic, but you can set it to use YFrog. So I want to see I want to double check what it uses. But I know I would never use Lockers just because that name is obnoxious. If you use Z really in your name, then fuck you.
It was
like, Plixi was bad, but then Lockers, it sounds like a terrible shoe store.
What if your name is Zebra?
Well, then it's fine. Unnecessary Zs, let's just say. And especially adding a Z to the end just seems so, like, 90s radical, you know?
Totally tubular.
Extreme advertising from the 90s.
There you go. Extreme. X-T-R-E-E-M.
Remember Extreme Horn Nuts?
Nope.
Yes, those were extreme. Every time I ate them, I wanted to, like, you know, do a kickflip off some mad birds.
All right, before the tangent, we were talking about, you know, the whole, if the photos are yours or not on TwitPic. Speaking of what's yours or what isn't yours, Tennessee passed a law that said, or bill that said, pretty much, you can't, if you let, for example, your roommate or whatever use your Netflix login that they do not own, that you own, even if you just tell them, hey, here's my login, go watch what you want, that is now considered stealing under Tennessee law.
No, wait, I thought I read the article and that they specifically said that's not what the law is. I thought it's supposed to be like people selling access to their account and stuff like that. Like if you just share it with your girlfriend or roommate or whatever, that's fine. But I don't know, let me reread it, I guess.
I mean, it's stealing, but they're not going to go after you. It's if you're making money off your Netflix account.
Yeah, I hope they don't.
And at that point, why are people even paying you to use your Netflix? Why don't they just get their own Netflix?
I don't pay for mine. I use my parents. And I only have some
streams. Yeah, but you're not paying the money to use it.
Right.
I'm not paying anybody. I got free Netflix.
Okay, here, let's see. According to Kevlar's little write-up about it on our site, don't get too worried. This bill isn't aimed at you, the kindly fellow who shared his Netflix or Hulu Plus password with your girlfriend. The bill, which was backed heavily by the RIAA, is to give the state the power to prosecute those who sell or share their subscription entertainment services, I can't read, with a large number of people. So yeah, it's not just sharing it with your friend or something. It's basically like broadcasting it for a large audience.
So because my mom charged me, I could put her in jail.
In Tennessee.
And well, we'll move there first, but then I'll put her in jail.
Well, I think it has to be more than one person.
Dicks.
You just really have it out for your mom, don't you?
I'm going to get her one of these days.
All right, Stewie Griffin, calm down.
Is your mom's name Lois?
I'm not telling. This is the internet and she has no part of our site. I'm not going to rat her out like that.
With sensitive information like her first name?
Yes. Well, you guys know my last name, so you could probably put two and two together.
Your mom starts getting like huge, huge like pizzas delivered to her house.
You mean your last name isn't Touraj? I thought it was.
Yes, that is it. And my mother's name Martha? Is... Martha?
Mrs. Touraj.
Is it Jane? Alice?
Frida? Mrs. Touraj.
Can we stop talking about my mom?
Hey, you brought it up.
She's a very lovely woman, and I wouldn't ever put her in jail.
And yes, that wasn't on the topic list, by the way. So we
what,
went
my
on
mom? I should certainly hope not.
It's about to be. Hold on.
Wait.
All right. Okay, so on the same topic of the whole... whatever, you can't sell that stuff online. What about... I just lost my train of thought.
Were you going to talk about the oatmeal?
No, I was going to talk about entertainment online. The value we place on entertainment. New study shows that pretty much the value people have placed on entertainment has dropped about 68% over the recent years. And people pretty much now expect you to give their entertainment for free. So whether it be apps, software, music, videos, movies, whatever, the value people place on that is zero.
I see that a lot.
That's because people are fucking nowadays. Stupid.
Yeah, like nowadays, if an app costs $1.99, it's fucking outrageous. But, you know, a few years back, people were paying... you know, $20 for a mobile app on, what was it, like Windows Mobile or something. But now, 99 cents, oh God, call the police.
Yeah, and then if it's free and they put ads in it, it's the biggest problem ever and everybody just complains about it. Like, if it's free, just fucking take it.
My biggest problem, though, especially with like, when I used to watch a lot of Hulu, it wasn't so much that I had to watch ads every so often, is that I always saw the same four ads.
I agree. But that's not their fault. That
really drove me up the wall with ads. Like, I'll put up with ads. It's free. But I don't want to see the same advertisement
a million times, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that, I don't know if anyone watched Hulu at this time, but there was the one ad for the HP TouchSmart PC.
Oh, God, yes.
Where it's just like drumming and clapping and everybody's playing with it, and I lost my mind. I saw that thing a billion times.
That's how South Park Studios is right now. If you try to watch an episode on there, it's always the same, because they make you watch a commercial like three times throughout an episode, and it's always the same Rob Riggum, whatever, asshole guy, touting the same old thing. I hate Rob Riggum for everything he lives for.
Like, that's the thing that really grinds my gears about free advertising, is I just get the same advertisement over and over.
See, right, I thought effective advertising on Hulu, because I don't know if they still do it, but I know it was a couple months ago. It was for some, like, outdoors company, like, they make jackets and shit like that. But they had, like, I think 8 to 10 mini ads that were, they were pretty funny in their own right, but the fact that they switched them up every time, I like that, because then it actually got to a point where, like, ooh, I haven't seen this one yet. Let me pay attention to it.
On Hulu, I used to think that if, you know, it always asked that question, like, is this ad relevant to you? I would always just hit no and hope they'd give up and never show me an ad again. Never worked, though.
ESPN3.com is really
worst.
Really bad about that.
I watch college football games in there, and I'll see the same Jack Link's beef jerky commercial for 3 hours.
Or the Coke Zero commercials. How about the Coke Zero commercials?
People are pissed off even about paywalls, which are pretty much, you know, you go to the New York Times, you can only read 5 articles a week or something before you have to pay. And it says paywalls created by entertainment sources for previously free services are being met with feelings of frustration and distrust by users.
Well, I can see how if something used to be free and now all of a sudden you're expected to pay for it, that can be frustrating. But I understand, like, content has value and you should be expected to pay for it. Like, the internet has given everyone this idea that everything should be free, which is exactly what we're talking about. So, which I don't necessarily believe. I like things being free, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, the content providers have to pay the bills.
Yeah, because, I mean, I want everything free, but I also realize that if I get everything free, then eventually I'll have nothing.
Exactly. Yep. And what's eventually that? There's an old saying. Like, I know people would talk about it with, like, MMOs a lot. It's free, reliable, and was it fun, I think? And you can only choose two.
Yeah. It's true.
But the thing that I hate is, like, Hulu, I know. Oh, this frustrates me to no end, is you pay for Hulu Plus, and whatever, you pay them $10 a month, but then they still restrict you, like, oh, you can't watch this on your mobile device, you have to go on a computer. Fuck you, Hulu, I paid you $10, let me watch it where the fuck I want. I thought that was the point of the $10.
Yeah, that was kind of annoying. Don't you still have to watch ads on Hulu Plus?
Well, I still understand that, because that's kind of like, I pay for cable, and I still have to watch ads all the time.
Okay.
So I'll live with that. That's not such a big deal. It's the fucking restrictions they put on top after I already paid the money. Granted, I don't actually pay them money, related to the last story. I steal it, break Tennessee law, but fuck you guys.
Yeah, but is that them or is that the people providing the content?
Okay, it probably is the content providers, but it's still bullshit. Yeah.
Because I can't see any reason why Hulu would say, oh, you can only watch this on a TV or a computer. You can't watch it on your phone. There's no good reason for them to do that, especially if you're paying them for it.
So it's got to be at the content level. I can see that being acceptable if they had, like, a tiered payment plan. Where, say, if you paid them $5, you couldn't stream on your mobile device, but if you give them $10, you could watch it on your phone. Because you pay more, you get more. But yeah, if you can only pay $10 and then you only get, like, half the shit that you think that you should get for paying it, they need to ante up and be like, okay, well, you can do this too.
I don't know. That seems like a bad idea to me, just because it seems like it'll lead to, like, things down the line where people are like, well, they start to realize, well, we don't want to offer this for the cheap package.
Well, I didn't say it was a good idea, but I would say that would make it seem more reasonable. It's not what they should do.
And then there's, don't forget that what you think you should get for your money and what they think, well, what they want to provide for that money quite often don't intersect. And yeah. If they don't, you don't have to pay for it. Plain and simple.
There's no better way to tell a company that your service sucks other than not giving them money.
Yeah.
Yeah, giving them money and bitching about what you're getting, that's not going to do any good. You're still giving them money.
It's like people that complain, like, oh, I don't like the way that AT&T does things. Well, quit giving them your money and using your iPhone.
Yeah, congratulations. You just signed up for another two-year package. You just showed them.
Like, don't bitch and moan about it if you're not willing to make the sacrifice of not having it anymore.
Well, let's shift to the little people now, because we're talking about corporations and, you know, their need to make money and stuff being free. What about people who are artists or who are just, you know, starting up and stuff, and their content, they enter it, they broadcast it, and should that stuff be considered free, or should it need attribution, or how does it work for people that are just starting up?
Well, if you're a newcomer, I think that putting yourself behind a paywall is a horrible idea. Like, that's when you would want to, at least, granted, I don't know shit about business, so, but it seems to me that you want to be ad-supported, especially in the beginning, just to get people interest. Because if I don't know what the fuck I'm getting, I'm not going to pay for it.
And that's why the Wall Street Journal has the only profitable paywall out there, because people know what they're getting and the people that read are willing to pay for it.
Right, but in order for you to become known, okay, in order to make a revenue stream, you start off with advertisements, right? You put yourself on a web page, you get your Google ads and stuff, you get going. What if you want to take it to the next level? You're already betting this stuff for free, whether it be a video, whether it be music, you know, you want to start doing a DVD or something like that, you want to print a DVD. What then, since you are giving it free before, you know, you sort of fall in the same dilemma as, you know, these companies.
You gotta give something extra.
Or you gotta be honest with your audience and say, listen, guys, I'm trying to make a living at this. If you want to continue to support me or us or, you know, what we're doing, you know, at some point we need to make money off this. So if you could help us out and you like what we do, you know, I think being honest with people goes a long way.
Definitely.
I think everybody needs to come together here, and developers need to realize that not everybody's going to want to pay for their shit, and customers need to realize that you're not going to be able to get everything for free. If you want good quality product, you're going to have to pay for it. That's the bottom line.
And I think this frustration that people are having is a good thing, because it's kind of changing the social norm of everything should be free, and they're like, oh, it's not free. Well, maybe, you know, after a while they'll realize, I kind of need to pay for this.
Well, I'm going to throw this question out, and we'll think about it as we go into the next topic. There's an increasing sort of mentality that I've been reading about on the web that the content that entertainment, for example, music, art, etc., once people, artists, put it out publicly, that stuff then belongs to the public and not to the artist, because it's for public consumption. It's not for personal consumption. Keep that thought in mind, because that ties in pretty well with our next topic, which is artists known as Oatmeal versus FunnyJunk.com, where FunnyJunk took a bunch of Oatmeal's comics, pretty much all of them from all of his comics, put them on their site, did not attribute him at all, and with their ads on their site, pretty much profited off him, off of his work.
Yeah,
see, that's everywhere, and it's ridiculous.
That's theft, plain and simple.
Yeah,
that's theft. I mean, when
if
you're
you
taking
host
something,
it, great, but leave the dude's name on it. Everyone knows who's it is.
Yeah, if you don't know who the Oatmeal is by now, you probably don't have a computer.
I mean, it's a very distinct comic.
I hate to defend Funny Junk here, because I fucking hate Funny Junk, but I feel like we should point out beforehand that it's not FunnyJunk.com that's stealing his work. It's the users of FunnyJunk that are uploading it and removing the attributions. So the problem isn't necessarily FunnyJunk itself. They're part of the problem. But the problem is user behavior, which is a big part of what we're going back talking about. is we need to change how the public thinks about things, and that they should realize they have to pay for things and they can't get everything for free. So same way here, it's the people who are stealing it, uploading it, and then Funny Junk is, I feel like Funny Junk is at fault because they're not doing like a due diligence to prevent IPs from being stolen, but and then they're making money off of it.
Well, if you're making, wasn't there a story that we had about if you're making money? Oh no, if you're ignoring the copyright, you're still at fault. If you know that it belongs to somebody else, and you're profiting off of it, you're still wrong.
Well, the thing is, they were willing to remove things that had the oatmeal in it that said the oatmeal, but they weren't really willing to remove things that weren't properly attributed to oatmeal.
The thing is, I'm not supporting Funny Junk. What I'm saying, though, the root of the problem is the users, and they're still definitely wrong by allowing it to keep happening, but it's not them. They're not the ones going to theoatmeal.com, right-clicking, save as, and then uploading it to their own website. It's users.
No, I'm not saying that it is them. I'm saying that if they know that it's there, then it's their responsibility to get it off of their servers. They know it's there. They know it belongs to him. Whether it has his name on it or not, you know it's fucking his. So get it the fuck off your site.
And I agree with you, too. It's just the problem is that there's so much coming in that it's hard to catch everything. So, of course, stuff falls through the cracks. However, they're also doing a real shit-ass job of catching anything.
Well, and being a real dick about it.
And then as soon as anyone complains about it, the admin, who's like a 13-year-old girl, starts complaining and whining like, ooh, look at him, he's crying, what a baby, blah, blah, blah.
For the record, Funny Junk did change the stuff on their website. Now, all instances that say the oatmeal are now changed to the fag.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the kind of like petulant
behavior
that isn't helping them at all. Yeah. So like I said, they're not the main root of the problem, but they're definitely a contributing factor.
And it's a lot of places. Like, it's just content farms.
It's the same thing with E-Bombs World like 5 years ago. It's the same story over and over again.
World.
So this practice isn't new. Funny Junk is the
E-Bombs World was E-Bombs World was really bad though. He would go and snatch it from people and put his own watermarks on it. So he was, in my opinion, that's worse because he wasn't getting that from other people. He was doing it himself.
Yeah.
So stuff like, let's say, Chocolate Rain or Anton Dodson or whatever, because those things become super mega popular videos and memes and stuff like that. Do those essentially now belong to the community? It's more public domain.
The original creator still owns it, and he deserves to be credited and get all the.
He deserves, like, the thing that really grinds my gears about this is that people will take his stuff and then take his name off of it and say, look at this funny stuff I found.
Yeah, and you're not going to take Antoine Dodson's face out of the Bed Intruder film. You know, you're not going to be able to take, why can't I remember his name right now?
You actually can with a green screen.
He wasn't on a green screen. Somebody slapped Steven for me.
You could green screen your face and you could use After Effects to animate your face onto it.
Yeah, but think about who we're talking about here. These are fucking lazy people. They're not going to do that shit.
They won't even attribute correctly.
But that's
a big problem. Like Ron and then Gonzo was saying too, is when people don't attribute who created it. It's one thing if you just don't know and you're sharing it around. It's another, like Gonzo was saying, is people are going out of their way to remove logos and watermarks, like remove the oatmeal.com in this particular example, and then post it up. That's straight up stealing.
Because if I recall, his name is Matthew Inman, the guy that does the oatmeal. He doesn't care that people are putting it on Funny Junk as long as it says, hey, you can find more cool stuff like this at theoatmeal.com.
Right.
Because, that's the way you get traffic, is someone posts it to Reddit, per se, And it's like, oh, look at this funny thing. Oh, I can go see more funny shit just like this at their website.
And as Tawny points out in the chat, the lawsuits are coming. They will come eventually.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he doesn't want to do it. But the other problem they're going to run into is those a lot of the people that do the funny things on the internet, the oatmeal and other similar things, is that they don't have a lot of money to fight these legal battles. They can't spend money to hire lawyers and then take 3 years to wind this thing down in a courtroom.
Well, and that's the problem, is that you're going to see it'll go one way or the other, where content providers, you know, the oatmeal.com will just stop doing what they're doing, or...
And you know, I will be a very sad panda.
Yeah. Or they'll go the other way, where they finally get enough money to buy lawyers. But, I mean, I know Matthew Inman of the of Oatmeal has started basically living off the money he makes at his site.
Yeah, that's a fairly recent thing, too. I remember I used to go to the Oatmeal all the time, and he was like begging for coffee. He's like, I hate my job, but I love doing this, and the only way I can keep doing it, blah, blah, blah. But eventually he started making money off of it, and he's got just enough money to live off of now. So he's basically doing what he loves.
He made money before that. He actually started up, I think, Mingle, the dating site, and he then sold it off to a different company that came in and bought it. Like, Mingle was his idea, and he designed it and did and coded it all within, I think, a week or a couple weeks. And then it became so popular that some other big company came in and swooped it up and bought it off him.
Which a lot of them
do. Oh, so he did start that?
Yes.
I know he was involved. I didn't know that it was specifically his.
Yeah, because I remember he has a few sites that are around, like before his Oatmeal days. And I think one of them detailed his whole Mingle involvement, how he started it. I'm pretty sure that's what it was saying.
Oh, while we're talking about this too, I just want to say real quick, also fuck the Cheeseburger Network, because I hate them so much.
Oh man, if the Cheeseburger Network went away, I don't know what my wife would do.
No more funny cat pictures.
Oh Christ, I hate it. And the thing too is, like Vito was saying earlier, just like E-Bomb's World, is they put their own fucking watermark on it. Also, the Chive, let's talk about them too, is at least with Funny Junk, people just upload shit and whatever, it's just there. Those two fucking sites slap their own goddamn name on it, and then suddenly it's theirs. Fuck them.
Dicks.
See, if Kaiser was on right now, he could probably talk about this, because I know his shit has ended up there. Even a stupid Rage comic I made ended up on there and pissed me off, but he would be more appropriate to talk to about this.
Yeah, because he's an actual artist.
Exactly.
He's just some guy with his paint.
Actually, Ben, you actually stole content. You took the rage face out of somebody else's original content and did it your own thing.
The rage face is different. See, the rage face, they actually put all of the rage faces together in one place to facilitate making rage comics. So, no, Steven, no.
Yeah,
those the rage different. Face, Me Gusta, the troll face, that shit actually all belongs to communities.
Public
I don't
domain.
Think that someone can say, hey, I made this.
And okay, the difference here too is creating original content through maybe not necessarily original images. That's one thing, but the end result is still an original piece of content.
Somebody should get a trademark and a patent on troll face.
Yeah, okay, the Cheeseburger Network has tried to do that, and it caused a big uproar. But to finish what I was saying, the difference then between what sites like Funny Junk or Cheeseburger or The Chive or E-Bombs or whatever site you want to talk about is they directly take something that was already made and then pass it off like their own. That's the big difference here.
That's to quote Peter Griffin, really grinds my gears. And exactly. It's a great way to stay in shape.
Think about making a song. Like, you don't necessarily invent new notes. You're using the same notes that have already been around for millions of years. But if you just took someone else's song and slapped your name on it,
hey, I'm gonna fucking
stealing.
Make my own note one day, and it's gonna make you shit your pants.
The brown noise. Dude, they already made the brown noise.
No, I'm gonna upgrade it to give you automatic explosive diarrhea. I'm working on it.
All right, speaking of explosive diarrhea, Sony got hacked again by LulzSec.
This is never going to end.
They pretty much went out and said, we're going to keep on doing this. We're not stopping because they're a bad company. Games.
I want Sony to get their shit together, mostly because they said that they're going to give me two free PS3 games and two free PSP games, but I don't want to connect to their bullshit network to get them.
I don't want them to get their shit together because they fucking suck.
This is the perfect storm of a PR nightmare.
There's no way to make it stop, though. I mean, if somebody really wants to get into your security shit, they can. It doesn't matter what Sony does.
But they don't even have to try. It's in a fucking text file. It's not like they're trying really hard. It's not like, you know what, we're going after them Sony bastards. This is just, they put it on their fucking front porch with a little trail of shit leading up to it.
Yeah, it's like they put all their user information like on their front porch with a little honor box that says, put money in here if you're going to take it. And someone just wanders up and is like, you know what, this shit's mine now.
Their porch is the Halloween porch with the little bowl of candy that's like, please take one.
Only take one.
Only make one account and then leave. Don't look at other people's accounts.
Tawny's been following the LulzSec thing, and she says that they are ending. They are stopping. They're stopping the lulls.
Well, Sony's... you can only have so many lulls before you just get bored.
Well, it's not the fact that the lulls, you know, the lulls are affecting people. You're not affecting Sony. Sony couldn't give a shit. Still going to have their name. They're still going to make millions of dollars. You're affecting actual people now. That's a difference.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think at a certain point, because, I mean, what are they doing with the people's information? Are they using it?
I think you misquoted Tawny. She said they are not ending.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so they're not ending.
It's kind of the opposite of what you were just saying.
No, it's what I said originally was that they are not ending.
Well, then I retract my previous statement as well.
But, all right, so are they using people's information? Are they selling it? Or are they only doing this just to be dicks to Sony? Because in that respect, then it's Sony's problem and not people's problem.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure all they're doing is exposing Sony's general incompetence,
right,
in the hopes that Sony will remove their cranial rectal inversion and straighten everything out.
Yeah, but
choice of words there.
They took user accounts and posted them online, like millions of them. They put it on Pirate Bay as a torrent or something like that.
Oh, they did.
No, wait, was that the people that, like the official unofficial group that did it, or was that somebody else?
Who knows which one of them is and which one of them isn't. I have no idea. One of those groups did.
Fuck them.
Sony really needs to get a handle on this shit. It's getting out of hand.
Why don't they just go after Microsoft for the Xbox? What, the same thing. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, the difference, though, I think, and I think like Tawny's trying to point out in the chat room, it's there. Companies were going to get attacked either way. The problem was that Sony really had shit-ass security, and so it made it really easy, and now they're not fixing it properly.
It's like say Sony and Microsoft are trees, and the user information for Microsoft is in a tree. You can't really reach it unless you get a ladder, and that's a lot of work. Tony's information apparently was sitting at the base of the tree, and you can just walk up and grab it. So
it's sitting at the base of the tree with the spotlight on it.
Do I need to get a ladder, or can I just walk up there and grab it?
I mean, yeah, for all we know, they could have tried to attack Microsoft and just failed at it, not been able to get through. So maybe that's why they stuck with Sony.
Well, a true lousy hack is the one that British MI6 did to Al-Qaeda a while back, which recently just came to light, where they hacked an Al-Qaeda online magazine and changed the recipe for a bomb into a recipe for cupcakes.
That really made me
That's
chortle.
Awesome. That but you know what's weird is I recently downloaded a recipe for cupcakes, and fuck it, I got bombs. I don't know what happened. I'm just kidding. That didn't actually happen, FBI, just in case you're listening. It was just a joke for laughs. Although right. The cupcakes I did make were the bomb.
They were quite explosive in the flavor department.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-dum.
Okay, let's switch topics to birth control real quick. Oh. One of our last topics on the topic list. If you're a dude, one of the biggest problems is birth control for you is sort of sucky. You have condoms, you have vasectomies, which are not the nicest things in the world, but they sort of do their job. In India, though, scientist has a thing out, a little shot that you do that totally is 100% effective for up to 10 years.
But you have to get a shot of balls, reversible, man.
No, twice. You don't. No, you don't. You do not get a shot in your scrotum. Balls. It's in your scrotum.
Well, that's close enough.
Fuck that, dude. Little bit of pain versus 10 years of baby-free fucking. Give it to me.
Give it to me.
Well, a little bit of pain or a college tuition.
Bingo.
Okay, I mean, I'll take the pain over that, but it doesn't seem pleasant.
The injection is called RISUG, which stands for Reversible Inhibition.
Inhibition
of sperm under guidance. Pretty much like Vito said, you needle into your scrotum. And this polymer travels into your vas deferens and it just stays there. And whenever little spermies come through, they are it detects their charge, and it sort of reverses their charge, effectively neutralizing them.
It's like a taser for your swimmers.
That sounds lovely.
It's positively charged. Your sperm are negatively charged. So as they're swimming through, they get close to the polymer. It's like, and then bam. No more babies.
You're effectively putting it in my penis.
It is.
Robbie, you're trying to say something.
You know what? I'm just gonna check out on that one. I had a stupid one-liner, and I tried too hard, and it's just not working.
And if you ever want to have babies before the 10-year minimum that it says it covers, just a few more injections, and boom, you're back to normal. And it says it has zero side effects. It is currently about to go into phase 3 testing in India, which is the equivalent of like the phase right before FDA approval, before it goes bubble.
You know, call me cynical, but I don't believe anything that says zero side effects. Fuck, if I want to take cold medicine, it's going to give me diarrhea and strep throat for 3 weeks.
And like, I don't believe that it's 100% effective.
Call me cynical, but I don't believe anything that says India.
That's racist, sir.
I'm not racist, but I mean, come on.
Nothing can be 100% effective, though. I mean, like our good friend Ian Malcolm said, nature finds a way.
So if you I might have a dinosaur baby.
You might.
All right, sign me up. I want this fucking shot.
Your baby could come out with a tail and now, fangs.
I think we need to point out that this is not protection from sexually transmitted infections / diseases or anything like that. This is something that I see more for somebody that's in a monogamous relationship, right? And they don't want to.
Whatever.
All right, you're in a relationship where you know you're only fucking the same person all the time. All right,
persons.
This isn't for the guy that's going around whoring himself out.
It's not
on the
for
weekends.
Going out and getting some strange.
Right,
this is great for swingers.
I don't know about that.
This is just gonna swingers are the people that want to double bag that shit.
Yeah, you don't know what you're getting into there.
No, this is for people that just don't want to be wearing condoms. Like they don't want to wear condoms, not because they're afraid of STDs, but they, you know, you don't want to get your boys chopped off.
Absolutely.
But because nobody wants that. But you know, this is great. I want to know why this isn't available now. I will be motherfucking first one in line. I will sell my fucking big screen TV to make this a possibility.
Would you sell your kidney for this? Is that reasonable to say?
I would sell my kidney for this.
Vito, don't you already have kids?
Yes! This is why you should listen to me.
he speaks from the truth.
Fucking voice of experience, man.
I think you're beyond help.
No, this means I can eat more what I'm doing without worrying for a third crumb snatcher.
Oh God, Benguin, the spotlight is on you now. Benguin's got an app suggestion review for us: Photosynth for iOS. Take it away, Ben. Yeah.
This is an awesome app. It's actually, believe it or not, from Microsoft, available for the iPhone. It probably works on the iPad too, also. But I guess anything with a camera. But it's called Photosynth. And what it does is it lets you take 360-degree panoramas, kind of like you see from Google Street View and stuff, really easy. And it's awesome. All you got to do is you load up the app, you tap it to start, and you just start turning in place. And it just automatically will take another picture as soon as you go to a new area. You hit done, and it'll stitch them all together to create this one big, awesome panoramic image. In my experience, it gets a little bit tricky when you're trying to do a full 360 degrees. Like, I can never get it to stitch the beginning and the end very well. Oh. But overall...
Because you're not very good at it.
Yeah, I mean, through trial and error, I've been able to do it better or not. Yeah. So sometimes I've been able to do it well, sometimes not. It's hard if there's movement. Like, I was trying to do it at the beach, and with the waves would always, you know, not line up properly.
But tell Consuelo awesome. To stop vacuuming.
Yeah, seriously.
Sorry, hold on.
No vacuuming! Consuelo, no! Me, sir Ben, that. You don't have no more Windex.
We need more lemon pledge.
Alright, sorry about that. I had to lay down some law.
Oh, shit.
You might still be able to hear it, though. But anyways, yeah, Photosynth, it's awesome. I put a little preview I did in the show notes. You could check it out at the beach on Memorial Day. You can see in there, like Gonzo was talking about, at certain parts, the horizon doesn't line up properly. It looks like steps. If I just retried a couple times, I probably could have fixed that. But, you know, it was a quick job. You can share it to Facebook and stuff really easily, which is cool, too, because you can do... you can either share it as a just regular panoramic image long, or you can save it as an interactive panorama, so you can actually move around and like Google cool. Street View. So it's actually really neat, and it's free, so get it. I don't know if there's a Android version or a Windows Phone 7 version. I would hope so, because it's a Microsoft product, but it's really awesome, so go get it.
All right. Thank you.
That's the first app review we've had on the show in a long time.
And it was a quality one.
And it's free.
Indeed.
Well, it would have been if we hadn't kept interrupting him. We are some rude bastards.
Bunch of jerks.
If somebody would decide to start vacuuming in my house, too. That's the next app we need to get people.
No cleaning when I'm doing the hologram thing.
On that note, it's time for WTF News.
Techno song here.
I'm dying. I hope you guys are.
Horse herpes and stick ponies is our first story of the night. Turns out there was an outbreak of herpes in horses at rodeos that forced rodeo queens to use stick ponies instead of regular ponies.
Yeah, I wanna go ahead right now and say I'm sorry, horses.
Goodbye, horses.
How did the horse get herpes?
From Steve Dave. Committed.
Steve Dave. I don't know how they got the herpes, but it seems to me if you're having a rodeo and you're forcing the people to go out and riding on stick ponies, just call the event off.
You can't ride a horse with herpes?
Apparently not.
Would you want to ride a herpes horse?
I mean, define ride.
Yeah, maybe it's a different kind of rodeo. Maybe it's like a Tijuana kind of rodeo.
Maybe it's the rodeo where they got the herpes.
It's a donkey show?
Yeehaw.
Former Queen Savannah Steed said, "It's
what a great name for a horse rider.
This sounds like a different kind of rodeo.
It's kind of weird, but you can't really help that the disease is going around.
She I'll tell you how you fix it. You make horse condoms. Problem solved."
That's we call that a hefty bag.
She said that the stick horses will test the rider's knowledge of whether they know the routine rather than letting the horses do all their work.
When you say stick horses, like, do you mean those little things that little kids ride around when they pretend to be cowboys?
Yes.
What the fuck?
How, like, pretty much just cancel the event. I mean, what are you doing?
If I, for some reason, went to a rodeo, I don't know why I would, and I saw that, I would want my fucking money back.
Yeah, I think I would definitely be doing some serious complaining.
Speaking of serious complaining, this kid sold his kidney for an iPad 2 and now sort of regrets his decision.
No shit.
Okay. Does this kid have parents?
17-year-old Chinese boy sold his kidney for $3,400 in order to get an iPad 2 that he wanted really, really bad.
I hope he wanted real bad.
Everybody who didn't see that coming, the regret, not the selling of the kidney. Go ahead and raise your hands. No hands?
Okay. You can't see any of us.
That's why I know. See, I know there's no hands. You shut up. Go on.
But he got the $3,400 model of the iPad, too. That's the really good one.
That's the one with the 128 gig hard drive and the quad core processor and the hologram screen.
Well, his mother,
I made that all up.
His mother found out and called the police about this. She had no idea. But it turns out the hospital that he had the procedure in was a shady hospital that wasn't even equipped for such a surgery.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. That part made
so you laugh. He pretty much just wound up in a bathtub full of ice and an iPad across his chest?
With horse herpes?
With horse herpes?
See, I brought that back around.
Man, I wonder if you can get like an ointment for horse herpes. That sounds pretty epic.
For $3,400, I sincerely hope so.
You can get an iPad and horse herpes ointment.
Well, I mean, an iPad only costs, you know, a couple $100. If he got $3,400, I guess the rest of that money went to horse herpes ointment.
The rest of the money went to finding a new kidney.
Police are reportedly investigating when the teen's health is reportedly deteriorating. He now seems to be expressing regret.
Well, I guess there's no better teacher than pain. Most people learn by putting their hand on the stove. I guess he was like, that's not extreme enough for me.
How, as a parent, do you not notice that your child is getting a kidney operation?
That's a good question.
Like, what does he say? Like, oh, I'm going to go to school. And then he comes home with a bag of ice and a bunch of stitches on his back. How do you not notice something like that?
Well, it sort of was funny when it said when the mother found out, she called the police. I mean, he probably went to extreme lengths to conceal that, too.
That would have been an interesting dinner conversation.
So, son, how are your kidneys doing today? Oh, about that, Mom.
They're great, Mom. Yeah.
He was 17, for the record. 19. This was 17-year-old in China.
So what does that mean? Parents don't have to pay attention anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I know my parents stopped checking for my kidneys when I turned 15, so.
I probably could have gotten away with it. Literally, his parents were doctors, and they took him to get an x-ray, and they're like, there's no kidney here.
Well, some parents have weird ways of showing love, you know, that all don't judge other people because your family does it a certain way.
Yeah, you're right. I'm different because I didn't get checked for my kidneys at 17.
I mean, some parents show their love by dressing up every day and waving off your son to school as he rides a school bus in different costumes, including women costumes as well.
This dad is awesome.
Yeah, he is the best.
Did you see like the blog spot they have where they show all the costumes he wore?
No, I've only seen a few of them.
Like when he's in the Batgirl costume.
No, see, this is one of them that I didn't make it to before we started. I'm going to have to look now.
Well, it turns out...
I guess we should let Steven finish explaining.
Okay, so this guy pretty much dressed up. His 16-year-old son would ride the bus to go to school. And instead of doing something that every normal parent does and, like, you know, either walks your kid to the bus stop or says goodbye, the dad pretty much walked out of the house dressed up in full uniform of some sort of another, and waved, you know, his son away all 170 days of the school year in a different uniform each and every single time. Started off with the kid's sophomore year, 6-year-old, Rain Price.
What a waste of money.
No, how dude, many, this is awesome.
How many this thousands? Is great. Who cares?
I like money.
Dude, this is cool as shit.
I love the guy. He's in the chicken costume and an aerial costume.
Now, his left leg has been amputated. I love the pirate with the peg leg. That is
pretty awesome. I'm wondering, like, sitting on the toilet, like, out front.
It took a lot of effort to keep it up, but it was a way of letting him know that we really care about him.
I think it's cool.
It's a father's way of saying I love you. The son disagrees.
I don't know. I think that's pretty great. And I think the son, a couple years from now, will look back and realize how awesome it was.
Right. It's kind of embarrassing now, but later when he gets older, he's going to be like, man, my dad did something awesome for me.
Okay, but when the dad wears well-known costumes such as Batgirl, the Scarecrow, Elvis, the Little Mermaid, Princess Leia...
Still, that's going to be one of the things that this kid who's riding the bus now, he's going to tell this to his children. He's going to be like, you know, your grandpa, like after his dad's dead and gone, that's going to be one of the things that he remembers fondly. He's not going to remember, oh my God, he embarrassed me so bad when I was in high school. He's going to be like, you know, he woke up every morning and was dedicated to doing something really cool for me.
He's also going to be telling psychologist about all the 170 days where he was sitting alone at lunch while people were calling him names and making fun of his dad. Bad.
Like, the kids seemed to enjoy it. I would have enjoyed it.
Well, you're talking about 16-year-old kids, you know, in high school, and they're not the nicest of people.
I don't know, yeah, but man. I was that kid's classmate.
His dad was weird. I mean, his dad just wore cool costumes.
Yeah, I would have wanted to be that guy's friend. Like, dude, your dad is awesome. Like, let's hang out.
Yeah, I probably would have wanted to be his friend.
And for like the idea I got from the article,
from Predator, that is fucking awesome.
Yeah, and the idea I got from the article was that other kids thought it was cool. Like, they weren't laughing at him. Like, you're an idiot. Like, they supported the idea, and only the son was the one that seemed to have the problem.
Yeah, and it spices up the morning bus ride, because I used to ride the bus because my family was broke as shit. We couldn't afford a car for me to drive to school, so I had to ride the bus. It sucked. And I would have loved to have something like this. What's old crazy Mr. Johnson wearing today? Holy shit, he's dressed up as Ursula from Little Mermaid. That's pretty fucking cool. Hey, he integrated the amputation into his costume. He's a peg-legged pirate. That's badass.
Where did he get all these costumes, though? That's what I want to know. Like, I'm sure the first couple he just had laying around, but after that...
It says in the blog... we spent less than $50 on costumes and props. Most of the costumes were borrowed from neighbors and friends. Were found in boxes from years past.
They must have had a lot of costumes.
Man likes dressing up.
And it's pretty awesome if you can go 170 days and only spend $50 on costumes.
I wonder if one of those days he was like, yeah, I'm just dressed up as Bobby's dad today. This is my costume.
That's the day he was sitting on the toilet out front.
You can even just go to like a flea market and stuff and start picking stuff out, used articles of clothing.
Yeah, I mean, he did some pretty awesome stuff.
But, okay.
One day he was a terrorist.
Oh, God, okay. Yeah.
Moving on.
Let's fly over to Florida.
We need to go to Florida.
Florida news, our usual Florida dose. Okay, the headline sort of speaks for itself. Cops: man broke into woman's home to rub her feet.
That's awful.
Turns out this 29-year-old dude was accused of breaking into this woman's home while she was asleep, and somebody snatched her from her feet and rubbed them.
Man after my own heart.
He's just thoughtful. That's what it is. I mean, I've heard women complain callously about they want foot rubs.
Is this one of those people who hasn't found internet porn yet?
He's probably well beyond internet porn.
You can never be beyond internet porn.
He's taking it to the next level, man.
Yeah, well, if you really look, you can find some really freaky shit on the internet, man. So if you get beyond internet porn,
this is the kind of shit that happens.
Yeah, he's exactly. Alibi to the cop. His alibi to the cops was that he did not do that to the woman. He did not break in and rub her feet. Instead, he was there to buy drugs.
What a great excuse. He's this guy's a stand-up guy.
I'm sure the cops were just like, oh, that's it? Go ahead, sir.
They expect him to zig, and he zagged.
Okay, and last topic on the list tonight, again in Florida. at Subway. If you like Subway sandwiches, be sure to ask for extra meat on your sandwich, because apparently that gets you a little bag of marijuana at a Fort Pierce Subway.
You know, I read this article, but the problem I had with it is, like, what if you wanted extra meat? Like, I wanted more turkey.
I think that's why I got caught. Somebody wanted extra meat, and they're like, there's the same amount of meat on here.
And I have marijuana.
And a bag of marijuana.
And this was a really expensive sandwich.
It was actually really cheap weed. All they had to do was drop $10 into a tip jar.
$10? How much was he giving them? Was he, like, slipping them half a joint?
I would assume a dime bag, sir.
What, dime bags only cost $10 now?
Apparently in St. Lucie County, Florida.
Kind of cheap-ass dirt weed are they smoking?
I remember when a dime bag used to cost a dime. You know what I mean?
You know how much condoms cost? I don't know. We didn't use them.
Hey-o.
Let's go for that injection.
Last sentence of that article is, no word on what you get if you ordered a brownie.
I know a guy that ate 4 brownies all at once.
He nearly died.
Poor guy melted into his couch.
It's like, do you guys remember that anti-drug commercial with the chick who would get high and she just, like, deflates on the couch? Yes. That shit was freaky.
You got pretty high for that shit to happen, let me tell you.
I'm pretty sure anybody who was high and watching that commercial found it extremely funny as shit.
Unless you're high.
I'm pretty sure they were high when they wrote it.
How does this make me feel? I'll draw that.
And then me, as a little kid, I was like, that actually looked kind of cool. Maybe I should try this marijuana stuff.
I'd like to deflate once
or twice. She looks like she's having fun.
Officer McGruff's approves of this conversation. All right, I guess it's time to wrap it up. That about does it for our topics and for episode 32 tonight.
I don't have to wrap it up. I got that shot in my balls.
Oh, man. Ending strong.
Oh, boy. Feel free to visit us at thenoisecast.com. Read our articles, comments, send us your feedback, as well as give us a shout out on Twitter, twitter.com/noisecast. On tonight's episode, we had the privilege of listening to Gonzo Rider.
I want to chat with some of you people on Cast Off, so get on there.
Cast Off? Oh, yeah, Cast Off.
You dumb motherfucker.
You made it.
Forgot about that place.
So did everyone else.
Don't forget. I like to talk to people on there.
Of course, for those that don't know what Cast Off is, if you go to our noisecast.com, there's a big thing on there that says Cast Off. It's pretty much an open forum sort of thing, sort of like the White Noise of the old days. Yeah, sit there, off-topic forum, more or less. Noisecast.com/castoff is the direct URL.
You'll notice the first post is Marion asking you for your age, sex, and location.
So it really if you is had like the old noise cast.
Quality like. Conversation. Okay, Ron Taraj was also on this podcast.
Hi, I'm Ron Taraj.
He wasn't on the topic list, but thanks for joining us anyway.
I wasn't?
Party crasher.
I get an email to me, so I just show up every now and then.
I'm glad you're here.
Hey, you know what? This is the first time you've been here and Kevlar hasn't, and I can almost hear the happiness in your voice at the end of the show.
I had a good time. It was lovely. If Kevlar's here next week, you guys can go fuck yourselves. I'll be doing something else.
Of course, Benguin with his trusty app view and comments.
It's been fun for the most part until we started vacuuming.
Then you're out of the pledge.
But at least my floor is clean, so that's cool.
Michel Benguin, we need more lemon pledge.
I wish I had people to vacuum for me.
No, I'll stay here.
Okay, last but not least, veto number 9.
I never get tired of this. Never. Okay, maybe once. But then I got drunk and it was okay.
What? What is he talking about?
I don't know. Just say yes.
Our witty banter. The fun back and forth.
Minus the witty.
Minus the rentourage.
That's me.
Tune in next time, same time, same place, for the Noisecast.